back to Weikert's periodic mobility real estate update. Here again with Joe Palumbo and Betsy Roach to talk about the latest news on the U.S. real estate market and the impact of the real estate market on both our clients and customers in the real estate industry. Joe Palumbo has been in real estate services since 1986, the year I was born, I wish, and Weikert for 15 years. He's vice president of real estate services, responsible for appraisals, home inspections, and resale in North America. Betsy Roach has been in the relocation industry her entire career and with Weikert for 24 years. She is vice president of Weikert's broker network, our premier group of preferred real estate companies in the U.S. And Betsy's also responsible for our relocation department for Weikert Realtors-owned real estate offices here on the East Coast. So I feel a little bit like a broken record. Every time we get together, it seems like something crazy is happening in the real estate market. There is just so much information out there. And every time we plan to get together to do one of these podcasts, we say, oh, maybe we should wait till next week because more news is coming out. Well, I think at this point in time, we've decided that, you know what, next week for sure, there'll be more information coming out. But at some point, it makes sense to stop and look and listen and evaluate. So one of the things that we really wanted to talk about today are the obvious indicators that we see by stats that correlate, such as rising interest rates and inflation. But we also want to discuss anecdotal information that also demonstrates a shift from this very prosperous seller's market that we've experienced over the last couple of years to something possibly very different. In that spirit, I'm going to share some quotes that I've gathered up from various subject matter experts, including the National Association of Realtors. And the first one I'm going to share is a comment from the president, Leslie Rauta Smith. And she says, in a sense, we're seeing a return to normalcy with the home buying process as it relates to home inspections and appraisal contingencies, as those crazy bidding wars have essentially stopped. So, Joe, I'll start with you since this is sort of your territory. What's your take on that comment?
Thank you, Laura. I would definitely agree with it. I don't know about normalcy. I don't know what normalcy is anymore. I think the real estate seas are very tumultuous. But I think what that quote is referring to is the fact that for a while we've had a seller's market. There's no secret that it's been a seller's market. And that's a powerful position for a seller because you can basically defer any offers you want, decline any offers you want, and set up requirements that are such that the prospective buyer may waive the home inspection because they want to get to the top of the list, right? All the things that more or less expose the buyer, you know, down the road for risk, in our case, as corporate buyers and sellers of real estate. So I do agree that there's a slight shift without the bid wars now. The leverage may be tilting a little bit. We are in a seasonal change period, right? So we've always seen things change a bit in the fall. And I'll stop right there because I think we're going to start to talk about year over year as we make a comparison that that our audience can benefit from.
So that certainly an interesting point of view. And I like hearing that because it gives us hope, right? And Betsy, I'm sure you have an opinion on this as well, because this also affects not only the home buying market, but it also affects the rental market. So what do you think of that statement, this return to normalcy? What do you think?
I think we're kind of in a transition period as far as this goes. And transitions are hard because change is always hard. We've gotten used to the markets we've been in for the last 2.5 years or so. And now we need to adjust our thinking a little bit. I know in the last podcast, I'm sure we talked about the rental market, where I've never really seen it the way it is this year, where rentals are at such a premium, such a low inventory, that sort of thing. But today, we're just starting to see rentals normalize a little bit. And I hopefully that's going to be a continuing trend. So rental prices are at all-time highs and inventory's been at all-time lows and all that bad news, basically. But it does look like now more rentals are coming on the market. And I don't know, anecdotally, I see that in our own neighborhoods here where, you know, rentals are starting to be built or finishing and they're coming on the markets. And people are holding off moving too. So I think we're going to start to see some normalization in that market.
Well, that's certainly good news. And talking about anecdotally how that impacts our mobility clients, we've certainly seen more and more extensions on temporary living because it's taking that much longer to find rentals, clients questioning, you know, why are these temporary living extensions needed so much? And why are the costs so high? So it becomes a balancing act. Is it worth it to spend a little more time and money in temporary living for a longer term benefit of securing a rental that's more reasonable? So these are all things that are important to validate. And it certainly explains a lot of the additional costs that we've seen for folks, whether they're domestic moves or inbound into the U.S. We've definitely seen increases in those extensions on temporary living and just the overall expense. So I'm glad to hear that it looks like that's starting to shift. Interestingly, I think I may have mentioned this in the last one, there's so much construction going on in the suburbs of New York City. But, you know, that construction takes time. So even if things were started and then maybe stalled and then restarted since the pandemic has slowed down a bit, still you're looking at another year before those properties are really available. So it's taking time, but it's slowly moving in that right direction. Here's another quote. NAR Chief Economist Lawrence Yun, the housing sector is the most sensitive to and experiences the most immediate impacts from the Federal Reserve's interest rate policy changes. The softness in home sales, he goes on to say, reflects this year's escalating mortgage rates. Nonetheless, homeowners are doing well with near non-existent distressed property sales and home prices still higher than a year ago. Joe, you were starting to say the statistics and some of the more detailed information. What is your take on that? You think those home prices are normalizing? Back to that word, normal.
Well, first off, I'm a big fan of Lawrence's comments and his narrative when it comes out. I think that even though he's working for a trade association, he's definitely on point when he talks about what's happening. And the issue of affordability, we've been in a housing shortage for many, many years before the real one showed up or got exacerbated by the fuel demand. But this issue of affordability, notice he said homeowners. Mm-hmm. He didn't say home purchasers. So what happens with the interest rates as they increase is obviously that affects your affordability as a potential home purchaser. As prices come down, which they have for the second month in a row, year over year, that obviously affects your ability to cash out on any equity you would have earned. And so that issue of affordability, unfortunately, is going to be a little bit of a dark cloud. And statistically, looking at year over year, last year, first-time home buyers made up 34% of the market. And this year, year to date through August, it's 29%. And that's a very key figure because the first-time home buying population, as it relates to affordability, is a benchmark for us to be able to see how that balance of increasing mortgage rates, right, versus what you might get on your job, your increase in your wages from your employer, and your overall purchasing power. So that's one to keep an eye on.
For sure. And anecdotally, I can support that. I have two daughters who are in the market, theoretically, and they're just waiting because they can't afford it. And they're thinking that the prices have to come down eventually. So I think others are in that same sort of boat, are looking hopeful, but still waiting to see what's going to happen. Another comment relating to back to inventory, also from Lawrence Yun. Inventory will remain tight in the coming months and even for the next couple of years. Some homeowners are unwilling to trade up or trade down after locking in those historically low mortgage rates in recent years. which increases the need for more new home construction to boost the supply.
Yeah, so that doesn't really help our inventory issue, you know, because people who are going to sell have to have a place to move to, and that trading off your 3% mortgage for now, 6 or 6.5% mortgage is it's a big deal. So even though prices are stabilizing, I think, because I mean they're still up like 16% this year over last year. It's just that the rate has gone down over the last 2 months. So we're gonna, I think, see that pricing plateau. But you still have to have a place to move too. So people are gonna stay in place, but for your daughters, for instance, who are in the market, it'll give them less competition too when they're out in the marketplace. So some fewer buyers. So, you know, that's been a big challenge over the last 2 years is bidding wars and that sort of thing. We're going to see less of that. We're still seeing it, by the way. I just this morning, one of our realtors contacted me about a property we're working on that just went on the market, got 12 offers. So,
wow.
So, you know, it hasn't totally gone away, but you know, maybe a year or 18 months ago would have been 30 offers. I don't know, but.
Right. Well, everything is relative, right?
It is so all relative. Yeah.
Today.
And in certain price points, that's the other thing. The popular price points, I'll put it that way. And that could vary from one market to another, of course, but in the popular price point.
Yeah, well, and that bears out a statistic that I read also from National Association of Realtors from exactly 1 week ago today. Month over month sales varied over the four major regions. Two regions had increases, one was unchanged, and the other posted a drop. So year over year, sales did fall in all regions. But then on the other hand, 81% of homes sold in August were on the market for less than a month.
I have that circled, Laura, and I was going to bring that up. And that's if you would have told me that when I started here in 2007 with the Great Recession, that 81% of our homes would sell within 30 days, I'd be jumping up on the table and clapping. And we had, I think, our average days on the market at that point was close to 200. With quite a bit more inventory than we have. But that's a whole nother podcast. but that speaks to optimism. And mm-hmm. I think that needs a careful lens on it because, you know, looking at the days on market year over year, it's only three, a difference of three. Median days on market is from 14 to 17. And it's to be expected in August. But I think the important thing is to look ahead now to try to see how we can help our clients and their employees when they purchase homes or plan to sell their home. And I know you're going there, so I'll leave that carrot out there right now.
Yeah, that carrot. Don't forget that carrot. But yeah. Since you said, you know, we do have to look at these things long range, right? Since you mentioned what things look like in 2007, let's say, and the huge inventories we had. In that same spirit, would you agree that we have to look at things that are maybe less obvious, such as your favorite topic, food inflation, Joe? Can you explain that to the non-economists in the room? What do you mean? Like, why does the cost of the hamburger have anything to do with my interest in selling or buying a home?
Yeah, I think it's that affordability issue. It adds to, it's more or less a silent issue. What I mean by that is when you're pre-qualifying for a mortgage and you sit down with someone in the financial business or mortgage company, mortgage rep, whatever the case may be, you're looking at your housing costs and you're trying to squeeze every dollar you can into that. And of course, that's in your ratio, right? In your underwriting ratio that the lender is going to use. But, you know, as I shop, you know, my own personal experience is that it's really a lot more painful with weekly or even dining out. And I think that's a factor that is not recognized enough, is that the food the inflational factor right now, adding to the fact that the cost of money has increased and it will change. But in the near term, I think that is going to be, to me, as something that you spend on a weekly basis, right? You write your mortgage check on a monthly basis, and even though it's large, it's just not as visible as the food bill is. And so I think that's one that I think doesn't get enough attention. We get a lot of press on inflation, but we've heard about gasoline, and gasoline has come back down now, and things like that. That's one thing that we're going to have to keep a lens on.
And yeah, it's interesting, right? We always point to gas prices, but not everyone drives. Everyone eats, for sure.
Right.
So Betsy, how about you? What, any thoughts on some of the less obvious things that have an impact on both the buying and the rental markets that you can think of?
I still think today is a good time to buy because we're not seeing a big downfall of the market. We haven't. Joe and I have both, and you too, Laura, I'm sure we've lived through a lot of different markets, and this is not the worst by any stretch of the imagination. I think, you know, we're going to have a rough patch as we, again, transition, but in the end, I think it's still not a bad time to buy. 6% interest sounds high to us, but it's funny. It's all relative because we all remember much higher interest rates and homes still sold. Purchasing is still a good investment in the long run. It's like any investment, right? That you can't look at it, what its value is every single day. It's like looking at your 401k every single day. If you do that, it'll make you nuts. But if you look at over the long term, that's really where you're headed with it. And where you live is such an important part of your overall contentment, I think.
So. Absolutely. I would say, I'm going to throw this one out there. Even the changes in the climate have an impact on our season, right? I think so. I mean, you know, nobody wants to look at houses really in the deep, hot months right. of summer. But as this summer is even shifting later, I mean, that could, who knows? We don't know yet how much of an impact things like the climate will even have in terms of the seasonal adjustment in the markets. Mm-hmm. So while I'm with you, Betsy, I think it does, you know, obviously it's important to talk about what's happening and what we think about what's happening. But if we could now shift into a little bit about what kinds of things clients really can and should look out for when they are trying to decipher this information, because it can't just be about the hamburgers, right? It has to be a little bit scientific, I suppose.
Yeah, on big picture, trying to get your employees. If you're relocating your employees, there's a reason for it, that it's important that they be in the new location, right? So clients are going to have to look at some options as far as assisting people who are going to have a tougher decision to make, like leaving that 3% mortgage to get a 6 or 6.5% mortgage today. So we're going to see that. And we're going to dust off some policies that, you know, we've had in the closet for a long time and haven't needed to use, like mortgage interest differentials and cost of living differentials and that sort of thing. But, you know, the other thing is just going back to our best practices. You know, we've got a lot of best practices. Joe has a whole litany of them that we fall back on because they work, right? And managing a broker network like I do, you know, I know that the brokers that we are working with are brokers who have their finger on the pulse of the market, what's going on, and have our customers' best interests at heart. And it's not to say that all realtors don't, but the reality is relocation is a specialized market. It's not the same as the retail market where people are moving locally and, you know, they already know where they want to live and they know why they want to live in a certain market or what have you. But when you're relocating to a totally new area, you need to be with someone who's sensitive to that and can help you understand the market as a whole versus a micro part of that market. So, you know, working with our preferred brokers on both sides, also on the listing side, again, I know Joe will talk to that, but so important that you're working with brokers who have your best interests in mind and aren't just telling you what you want to hear, which is is easy to do, right? Especially when the market isn't all rosy.
Absolutely. Seeing the situation through the lens of relocation is so critically important and so different from John Smith deciding he wants to upgrade in, right. in either in the same town or two towns over. So Joe, Betsy gave us a little hint on some of those best practices. Yeah. Maybe you can throw us a few more gifts. And then of course, anyone listening, if you want to see the full gamut of recommendations, we would ask that you reach out to us and we'll provide that information at the end.
Yeah. And Betsy hit the nail on the head. I think just to add, you know, maybe look at your policy, look at how your policy supports renters. Is there anything that can be done to tweak that as far as, you know, your home sale policies and, you know, your GBO policy in particular, what can be done there? Do you have sufficient loss on sale provision? And then, of course, our best practice document, our make work happen document that we tweak whenever needed, but doesn't need much and hasn't needed much over the past 15 years. Use a network broker that's experienced in corporate relocation. Price your property right and be careful with aspirational pricing. You know, and our best practice document hones in on 103%. And so we cover all the areas in that document with inventory and BBO and GBO. I think that they're tried and true and they work. And time is the enemy for a relocation seller. And the acronym DOM, it means days on the market, but it also means dollars of mine, right? Because it really becomes dollars of someone, right? Whether it's the employee or the employer. And so with that note, I would say, yes, all those practices can keep you on par and ahead of the game. And we've been here before, right? But right now, I think that we're in a better situation we were in when I started, for example, and to go back to that recessionary period. And I think that Lawrence hit the nail on the head. Supply is the issue. And so until there is an oversupply or closer to an oversupply, we're going to continue to see a little bit of a tug of war between buyers and sellers. And I don't think prices are going to tank. They may continue. And, you know, right now we're at 3.2 months of supply, seasonally adjusted. Last year we were at 2.6. And just to put it in layman's terms, a balanced market is generally considered 6 months of housing. And that's the point where prices are only affected by adjustments for inflation and not external forces such as a shortage or extreme external factors. We all talked about SALT. Remember when SALT came around and high cost states and no one's going to buy a home in California and no one's going to be able to sell a home in New Jersey or New York because of SALT. Disappointed that we didn't get SALT back in with the with Biden's package. But case in point, we thought that was going to be a major problem. But it seems as if the market has absorbed that and it just become one of those things that is expected or anticipated or quite frankly overlooked. And I've talked to some real estate practitioners in those markets and they say, what's SALT? And I'm referring to appraisers and others. And so I'll leave you with that.
Betsy, any other comments about?
Yeah, I was thinking the good news for buyers out there is that they can be more selective and they can be pickier than we could be in the last few years. So, you know, we're getting back to doing the stuff that made us very nervous during the crazy market that we just came out of, which is we should be doing home inspections and all our due diligence before we buy a home. People were waiving those things because they simply had to in order to get into a home. And then not often, but it does happen where you then buy a home that has problems that you didn't anticipate. And that comes back to bite you on the relocation side too, when you're relocated again. You know, it could even mean that your home doesn't qualify for your company's program. So to me, that's good news that we're kind of, as things start to transition into a more normal period, that this is good.
I think if we had a crystal ball, we could say that could be a problem that we might face. Those homes that no longer qualify because they didn't have those proper steps on the buying end.
I just want to add, Laura, I think when you talk about North America, right, Canada is in the same situation, right? So Canada's had a period of prosperity, much like ours, I would say a little bit, maybe a tick higher with bid wars and things like that. And their market's starting to level off. And of course, they've got, you know, seasonal markets in Western Canada where winter is already there, right? And things like winterization and the markets slow down. And so the best practices work everywhere. If there's a market on Mars, you can apply those home sale pre-acquisition activities and the rest of that there. So just wanted to get that out there for our audience to understand that we're talking globally.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for that. Well, I'm not planning on purchasing on Mars quite yet, but it sounds like it makes sense, right? The, you know, good practices, best practices are truly best practices when they can be applied universally. So that's a great point. Well, thank you both so much, Betsy and Joe, for really helping us understand how we can make real estate transactions happen. This has been Laura Levinson, Betsy Roach, and Joe Palumbo from Weichert Workforce Mobility. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.